Let us pray. God of love, we come to you in need of healing. Receive us, touch us, make us whole. We pray in the name of Jesus, who even now reaches out for us with grace in his hands. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in Christ you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to God. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what some people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth.
Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes.
Go, wash in the pool of Siloam.
Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed, and when he came back, he could see. Ephesians says, once you were darkness, but now you are light. Not just that you are in the light, or even just that you have light in you, but you are light. Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of the one who sent us, and then it will be night. Your day, your life, is the time you have to love and to heal and to bless. And when your night comes, when your light is no more, it will be too late. So let there be some urgency about your life, that now is the time to bless and to heal while you can. To see that light shining out of you, because you are light. You are the light of God in this world. Let your light so shine that others may see and glorify God. Scene 2. That might have been the end of the story, but the neighbors didn't see it that way. In fact, they weren't sure what they were seeing.
Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?
I think it is.
No, it can't be. It's just somebody who looks exactly like him.
Hey, look, it's me. I am the one.
Then how are your eyes opened?
The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, "Go to Siloam and wash."
that I went and washed and received my sight.
Where did he go?
I was blind. How would I know?
The story starts out with this humorous irony. Only later does the irony become heartbreaking. That the neighbors, who supposedly can see, can't see what's going on. The blind man can see more clearly than they can. They've already decided who he is. He's the blind beggar. And now that he can see, well, he must be a different person because they've already decided who he is. So they're confused. Not only does it not work, it doesn't work. So John gives us this humorous irony in which the people who can see can't see what the blind man can see. They can't see the miracle that just happened. They're blind to it. They're all concerned with what they think about this man and whether he's the person that they've already decided he is or not. We're not much less foolish than that. We have ideas and assumptions and prejudices and judgments about people. And we see our assumptions and our judgments more clearly than we see the actual person. We decide pretty easily whether there's somebody that we like or don't like, agree with or don't agree with. And we spend a lot of time getting as much information as we need to make that judgment, and then we stop listening. We don't see them for who they really are. There's a part of each one of us that is that part of us that nobody sees. Sometimes we like it that way. There's a part of us that we don't want other people to see because they wouldn't like it. But there are people whose whole lives are unseen. There are people whom we simply don't notice because we choose not to see them because of our judgments. I think I've told you before about walking toward the church once in this little town in Montana, and coming up from the river in the other direction was this scruffy, raggedy-looking guy with a bundle and a pole or a stick over his shoulder, and I instantly thought, oh, another homeless person coming to ask for money as we both head toward the church. And I didn't want to see him. I wasn't in the mood at the moment until he got closer and I realized, no, he's just a fisherman who's been down at the river. And then I became aware of how I already decided who he was by the first glimpse and wasn't ready to really see him, meet him, hear his story, find out who he was. I think of all the people in this world who are not seen because they're different or threatening. We just don't see them. So I pray for the compassion and the humility and the curiosity to really see people about whom I've made such judgments that I can't find out who they are. I already think I know what they're going to say, so I don't listen. Pray for the humility and the curiosity to really be able to see the people who we haven't seen. Scene 3. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes.
Now how did you receive your sight?
He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see.
I don't see how this healer could be from God. He does not observe the Sabbath.
But how could a man who is a sinner perform such signs? What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened.
He is a prophet. What does it look like?
I still don't see it. How he could be blind and receive his sight. Go call his parents. Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?
Where's Pharisee one? We know that this is our son, that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is old enough. He will speak for himself. You will see.
Give glory to God. We know that that man is a sinner.
I don't know that he's a sinner. One thing I do know, I used to be blind, and now I see.
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
Look, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Wow, you sure do want to hear this story over and over again, don't you? Do you also want to become his disciples?
No, no way. You are the disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not have a clue where he comes from.
Well, now here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships God and obeys God. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything. Don't you see?
You were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us out of the synagogue. Out.
Well, that sounds harsh. But we do that all the time too, don't we? It's hard for us to live with people who see things differently than we see them. We see that going on in Washington, D.C., and it drives us nuts. But we're not much better. We have such a hard time listening to those who see things differently and really listen to them, to hear them, to learn from them. It's so easy to think that we know everything we need to know. The hard thing is that even if we know all the facts that we need to know, and even if we're trying to listen to somebody who has no facts to offer, but nothing with what's now become nearly a reliable source of fake news, there's more than that to listen to. There's who they are. So we pray for the humility to continue to listen, especially to people who see things differently than we do. After all, that's what God does with us. Scene 4. Jesus heard that they had driven the man out of the synagogue, so he went and found him.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him.
You have seen him, and now you're hearing him too.
Lord, I believe.
I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind.
Hey, we heard that.
You don't mean that we're blind, do you?
If you were blind, you would have a good excuse. But when you say, we see, your sin is obvious.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is always saying things that he shouldn't have. It's wonderful that he says, I have come so that those who are blind may see. But then he goes on to say, and so that those who see might become blind. I pray for Jesus to blind me, that I might become blind to all of my judgments and assumptions and opinions and beliefs, utterly blind to them all, so that I don't know, so that I have to feel my way through. I pray that Jesus will blind me to all of my judgments so that I have to listen. I pray that being blind to everything I think I already know, I will see anew, as if for the first time. Will you pray with me? God, we confess our judgments, our feelings and opinions, our assumptions. Blind us to them all, so that we might truly see your light in every person. Help us to shine with the light of your love. God of grace, for your healing love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your word, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.